Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Good evening, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Radio Ministries. It's a joy to be with you, to always bring to you the unsearchable riches of Christ through His most holy and profound Word. We're excited about the great things that God is doing. Presently, we are working on a new book, The Mystery of the Church and the Bride of Christ. Much controversy about the church being declared to be the bride of Christ. But the scripture says something entirely different. The church is His body. That's right. The church is the body of Christ and not the bride of Christ. And thus we're doing a thorough study. We're putting it in writing at this present time. This new book entitled The Mystery of the Church and the Bride of Christ. There's been so little emphasis put on the mystery. There's no mystery in saying the church is the bride of Christ. That takes no study, no thought, no effort in searching, seeking the Word of God that we might know this mystery. And it is a mystery. And there are many mysteries in the Bible, but this is one of the greatest mysteries that God has ever concealed, and then when it was the appropriate time, He revealed it to Paul the Apostle. It's amazing how the prophets of old foretold this mystery. They foretold of Israel their blindness. The mystery did not reveal the duration of the blindness until God revealed it to Paul, and that Israel would remain blind until the fullness of the Gentiles are come in. But just to give you a little nugget today about the church is His body, and the bride is New Jerusalem, we find in Revelation 21:2, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven," coming down from God out of heaven, "prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." And in Revelation 21:9, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away into the Spirit, to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." The Bible is clear. And then he deems New Jerusalem to be a her. The personal pronoun her. Revelation 21:11, "having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone clear as crystal." So the scriptures, and that's what we must adhere to, and there'll be those, of course, will not be able to understand nor grasp, neither fathom this mystery. But Ephesians 1:22, "and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things, the church, which is his body." The church is his body. A great mystery and a great mystique. Before we go into the Word today, we're going to be talking about Lucifer. Lucifer, bright, brilliant, shining one. But before we talk about Lucifer, let's talk about the blessed assurance and the blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and thank God, our soon coming King.
Blessed assurance.
Yes, we should be praising Christ all the day long. Psalms 34:03. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Amen. One quick announcement. The Authority Evangelism Discipleship Gathering, October the 28th, 29th, and 30th in Franklin, Tennessee. You can find the needed information at seedtimeharvest.net. SeedTimeHarvest.net. Go to my website, thevoiceofevangelism.com. Click on the banner there. It'll take you to SeedTimeHarvest.net, and there you can find out about the meeting in Franklin, Tennessee. Pastor Prophet Scott Lathrop, Reverend Colonel, and of course myself, David Lankford, Pastor Nick Serban, being the host pastor of the conference. We look to see many of you there. We're looking for a great time in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I know he will be there to minister to his people because he loves his people whom he has redeemed with his own precious blood. I want to read today beginning in Ezekiel chapter 28, beginning at verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of the fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, and they shall behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. May God add his rich blessings to his most holy word this day. Lucifer, who is he? Who is Lucifer? His name means bright, brilliant, or the shining one. God here is addressing King of Tyrus. But suddenly, through the manifestation and power of the Holy Spirit of God, God only uses King Tyrus as a type, because he suddenly begins to address Lucifer. God spoke to Ezekiel and said, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord. And then the next phrase is, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. This description, this structure that we witness here in the scriptures, is super terrestrial, super human, and it can refer to no one other than Satan himself. The king is an antitype. God speaks of Lucifer, his wisdom, his beauty, the covering cherub, his iniquity, his sin, his wisdom, and his profound beauty. He said, Thou sealest up the sum. In other words, you are the finished pattern. Throughout the years, there's been a lot of things said about Lucifer being the brother of Jesus Christ. That is absolutely error. That is absolutely erroneous. Satan, Lucifer, is an angel. Jesus Christ is God. Let me say that again. Lucifer, Satan, Diablos is an angel. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is God, and Jesus is not an angel. Lucifer is an angel. Hebrews 2:9 says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man." Jesus did not take on the nature of an angel when he came to the earth, but rather, he took on the nature of a man being incarcerated in human flesh, that he could die a natural death as all men will die until the resurrection or the second advent of Christ our Lord. God is trying to convey to us the power of Lucifer, who he is, that he's working relentlessly, untiringly to attack you and I, because he is a supernatural creature. He is a supernatural being, better known as a fallen angel. He is very, very unique. He seals up the sum of wisdom and perfect in beauty. If you were looking for the perfection of beauty, Lucifer, Satan would possess that. I've had people rebuke me, reprove me, and say I should never use the word Lucifer, because that's no longer his name. He is now Satan, Diablos, the devil. But see, that's just cynical to attack me over words, when the truth is we're trying to understand, we're trying to grasp, we're trying to fathom why and who this character is and why we have the chaos and the crisis that we have in the earth. Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy." Let me say unequivocally, that is what Satan does in perpetuity. Always kills, steals, and destroys. He does nothing good. Now, he will transform himself into an angel of light to appear to be doing something good. But at the end of the day, everything he does is evil. That's his nature, because he is a fallen creature, not fallen from grace. I know there's those buffoons out there that teach ultimate reconciliation, but even the devil will be saved in the end. That is heresy. That is a lie. That is a mendacity. That is a fallacy. There's absolutely no such thing as that. Read the Bible, Revelation 20. God's going to bind him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit. How can there be reconciliation? Number one, what was the price paid for his rebellion and sin? None. God only redeems man who was made in his image and his likeness. Satan, Lucifer, was not made in the image nor the likeness of God. Man was. That's why man was God's greatest creation. He said, let us, in Genesis 1 and 26, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Nowhere do we find God ever making an angel or anything of that nature in that manner. Let me quote it again, Genesis 1 and 26. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Nothing ever other than man was created in the image of God and in his likeness. Somebody shot me an email the other day and chastised me for preaching, teaching a Trinity. That Genesis 1 and 26, let us, only speaks of God and Jesus. Well, you see, I would say you're correct if you look at just that one verse. But you're wrong when you take the entirety of the Word of God, because 1 John 5 and 7 says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, what you going to do with that verse, Mr. Smart Aleck? You just going to throw it in the trash can and say, well, I'm not going to believe that verse. That verse is even more clear than Genesis 1 and 26. For there are three that bear record. The word record always means witness. There are three witnesses in heaven. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. You know, I'm amazed. I'm going to get on my soapbox here for a minute, because I'm really getting sick and tired of people lambasting me. You know, one guy's an engineer, one guy's this, one guy's that, one woman's... None of them are preachers. None of them are called. None of them are anointed. None of them are ordained of God. But they go about espousing lies straight out of hell, attacking the Word of God, because that's what they believe. Your father is the devil, as far as I'm concerned. You're not even qualified to make such adjudications. You're not qualified because you don't know your Bible. You see, that's the problem in the church today. We got a bunch of monkeys running around trying to ascribe this and that or another, and they don't even know what the Bible says. They don't understand the scriptures. The Bible is clear when you take the entirety. That's why we believe in the entirety of the Word of God. And as far as government and structure and rule in today's church, we believe the New Testament to be our manual for instruction, for leadership, for guidance. But we rightly divide the entirety of the Bible. You see, the Bible is replete. Jesus was in the river of Jordan. That's one person, correct? The Holy Ghost descended in the form of a what? A dove. That's the second part of the Godhead. And there was a voice heard from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. There's your three witnesses. There's your three records. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. There's three persons. How God, that's one, anointed Jesus of Nazareth, there's your second person, with the Holy Ghost and with power, there's your third person. Then we got those who say Genesis 1 and 26, us, is talking about angels. But that's not what the scripture says. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Angels and human beings are not the same. This is why we have such mass utter total confusion in the church, because people are not digging deep in the Word of God. They believe every heresy that comes along. I just got another email last week. I addressed this months ago. The lion and the lamb. Going to lay together. In the 11th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And this person is so far behind the truth. They're just now catching up something that I addressed months ago. Where the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. And they said, well, the word lion has been changed to wolf. Well, the word wolf was already there, people. It's just through the years, you know, in like here in North Carolina, we have coyotes, bukus of them. And people were not emphasizing the wolf as much as they were emphasizing the lion because of the ferociousness, the ferocity of the lion laying with the lamb. You see? And so I remember my grandmother saying the lion's going to lay down with the lamb. She never mentioned the wolf. I was just a little boy. Matter of fact, she had a painting. I don't know where she got it at, but she had a painting. See? And this painting shows a lion there beside a lamb. See? And so when people are coming along making these statements, they don't know their Bible. It has always said wolf. It's just people emphasized the lion for the purpose of letting you realize the nature is going to be changed so unbelievably that the lion, which, as I said, is unbelievably ferocious, will in the end lay down with the lamb, you see. But if people knew their Bible, they would know that. See, in Isaiah 65 and 25, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Again, it's wolf. But he also uses the term lion. And what is bizarre, if you want to use that term, maybe I shouldn't even use it because it's going to be the nature of God, will have changed everything. The lion will eat straw like the bullock or like the ox. Go back to Isaiah 11, 6 and 7. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. Can you imagine a lion eating a bale of hay like a cow? And they come along with this idiotic, I think it's called the Magellan Effect, or I don't know what it is. But it's a lie straight out of hell because people don't know their Bible. And they fall for this nonsense. They fall for this nonsense because, number one, they don't know their Bibles. Number two, they're not led by the Holy Ghost. This one person sent me an email, said, I am very discerning. No, sir, you're not very discerning. You don't know anything, sir. If you were discerning, you would have known both wolf and lion was in the scripture text. And this stuff just, it foments. It's the most cynical, ludicrous, idiotic things I've ever witnessed in my life. I mean, I am amazed. At every whim, every caprice, every piece of junk that comes along, professing Christians jump on it, hook, line, and sinker because they don't know the Bible. There's no other excuse for it. When somebody first told me that, I said, that's crazy. Somebody's now said someone has given a prophecy that there's going to be demons that are going to be unleashed, and these demons are going to be so powerful, you and I cannot defeat them. That's a lie straight out of hell. Why? Because the Bible tells me something different than that. Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. What does it mean when he said over all the power of the enemy? Revelation 21:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and through the word of their testimony. We can overcome Satan, much less his demons. 1 John 4:4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Excuse me, that's 1 John 5:4. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. What is in you is greater than Satan himself. I'm telling you, people, this is the asininity of today's mediocre, pathetic, so-called church. You'll spend hours on the internet and send me, and I get every week, watch this YouTube, watch this YouTube. I don't watch YouTube. I read my Bible. That's why you don't know anything. I don't say that today to be condescending. I'm not trying to put anyone down. I'm not trying to make anyone feel bad. I'm just tired of all the silly emails about silly, stupid stuff. You're a baby. You're not a bit. You're a 6-year-old Christian, and you're that way in your understanding. Because when somebody comes along, even the flat earth theory, it's just always something attacking God and his word. I mean, it's relentless. And it's the devil. And regretfully, people are embracing these lies. And they claim to be children of God. I was always told, if you keep your mouth shut, people won't know you're stupid. But if you open it, everybody knows you're stupid. If you don't understand something, don't open your mouth until you search the scriptures. One person emailed me about the flat earth theory and said, now watch this video. Now let me say, Pastor, it's got a lot of nasty, filthy language in it. Well, why would I want to listen to that? Why would I want to yield my members and my ears are part of my members? Romans 6:13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Why would I want to yield my ears, which are my members, and my members are a part of the body of Christ? Why would I want to yield myself to a bunch of profanity and cursing on a YouTube video espousing a lie that the earth is flat? Why would I do that? There's something wrong. There's just something terribly wrong, and I don't understand it. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace to the hearer. Filthy cursing words does not minister grace to my ears and my hearing. But they want me to listen to it to convince me the earth is flat. But they can't explain the 10th chapter of the book of Joshua, how the earth stopped so Joshua could defeat the Amorites. It's a historical fact. According to the Aztec Mexican Indians, they had a night where there was over 8 more hours of darkness. This is why the Antichrist will seduce so many people. He will use all power, signs, and lying wonders. Now, people telling me the Bible's been changed, to me, is not a lying wonder. It's just a lie. 2 Thessalonians 2:9, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. Satan is going to use powers, signs, and lying wonders. He's going to use the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Even him who's coming is after the working of Satan. The Antichrist is not Satan. The Antichrist is called the son of perdition, just as Judas Iscariot. And John 17 was called the son of perdition. Angels cannot possess people. Satan, Lucifer, is a fallen angel. He will not possess the Antichrist, but he will influence him and give him this great power. Where does the Antichrist get his power? He gets his power from the devil. See? Revelation 13:2, and the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon, that's Satan, gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. He gets it from the devil, but he's not the devil incarnate. Maybe there's more to me teaching this right now than what I anticipated on. You've got so much heresy. No Bible to back up half the stuff that's being told. Like one so-called renowned prophetic teacher says, the Antichrist gets shot with a gun and the devil raises him from the dead, just like Jesus. You want to give me Bible for that, please, sir? No, the Bible says one of his heads. See, a man don't have 7 heads. I mean, that would be a real funky-looking beast. One of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. There's a vast difference in a healing and a resurrection. His deadly wound was healed. That's why I got such a revelation weeks ago when I was live on the radio speaking, teaching, preaching about Satan has power to kill, steal, and destroy, but he does not have resurrection power. And it hit me. Why does the devil not have resurrection power? Because Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the personification of the resurrection. That's why Satan can't do it. He can kill you, but he can't raise you from the dead. And that's why in Revelation 13 says his deadly wound was healed. Man, I didn't know it was going to go like this today. That's the greatness, the vastness of God. You never know how God is going to move in a real, truly spirit-filled program. We come thinking we're going to do one thing, and the Holy Spirit takes us another direction, another path. People today are so anemic concerning God's Word. There's no deep digging. There's no hunger. There's no thirst to get into the deep things of God. There's such a shallowness, such a profuse shallowness in the church world. You little smiley faces, Joey Osteens. I mean, that guy is about a quarter inch deep and about a mile wide. He's not telling anybody anything to challenge, neither cultivate and dig up their lives to want to draw closer to the foot of the cross of Jesus our Lord. Yet he's declared America's pastor. Well, let me tell you, he's surely not my pastor. I don't listen to him. I want to be fed. I said, I want to be fed. You can't tell me stories and jokes and feed me. I need the meat of the Word of God. Who is Lucifer? Who is this bright, brilliant, shining one? Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Perfect. The word perfect there, I want you to understand this. Most of the time, just about 99% of the time, speaks of maturity in our spiritual walk with God. But here, it means completeness. There was nothing lacking in Lucifer. He was as complete as anything that God had ever created. And its usage, its association is strictly in beauty. He was, when it came to beauty, it's as though in beauty now, God, that was his finest creation in the sense of beauty. Lucifer. And I suppose that was the impetus in his rebellion. There was nothing that compared to him. Nothing. In that sense. Now, he was not God. Jesus was God. The Holy Ghost is God. Jehovah is God. The supreme divinity, the Father, is God. Satan, Lucifer, never was God. But when it came to the sum of beauty and wisdom, it said he was perfect. He was absolutely complete when it came to the element of beauty. Now in Ezekiel 28, verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. That is a powerful statement. That takes us back to Genesis chapter 2 and 3. Thou hast been, or you were, or thou wast, W-A-S-T, thou wast in Eden, the garden of God. God created this wonderful, beautiful, elegant garden, and he placed man in it, and Satan sought to get into the garden, and he got in through the serpent, who the Bible says in Genesis 3:1, and the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the field. Where did he come? Where did Satan come? Where did Lucifer come? He came to the Garden of Eden, the garden of God. Some say it was paradise. It was paradise. Nothing was like it. Nothing has ever been like it, nor shall ever be like it. It was very, 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 for better lack of terms, absolutely divine in every sense of the word, because it had not yet been cursed, because Adam and Eve had not yet fallen. And every day in the cool of the day, the voice of God would be heard in the garden. I remember my doctor friend, Dr. Spate, years ago, he and I were having a discussion about this, and he said, yeah, every day the Lord walked in the garden. I said, it doesn't say that. He said, what does it say? I said, the voice. And boy, he got his telephone out and Googled it, whatever. And I said, I'm telling you, it's voice of God. No, it's God. Okay, go ahead, find it. Genesis 3:8. And they, Adam and Eve, heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. He said, what? I said, it doesn't say that God himself walked, but it was the voice of God. You see, God is omnipresent. You see, human minds cannot fathom or get their mind around God. It's virtually impossible. It's the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. The voice. They didn't see God. Even Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. They didn't see God. Wow. You see, I was preaching Sunday, and I will not try to rehash my message, but I was emphasizing how we read the Bible and we miss so many nuances. Just like this one. The voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and Eve, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. And the Lord God called out to Adam. He said, where art thou? And Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said, who told you that you were naked? This is how easily we misinterpret the scriptures. I mean, just flat out say something that the scriptures does not say. I had a conversation some time ago with the executive superintendent of the Assemblies of God, Springfield, Missouri, and I said, I want you to know one thing before I begin to talk to you. I totally adhere to nothing but the Word of God. I'm the same way, he said. I said, no, you're not. You say that, but you don't adhere to the Scriptures. And I prove my point in a subject matter that I will not divulge on the radio, but I said, don't tell me you adhere to the Word because you don't know the Word, sir. If you knew the Word, you would not argue the point you're about to argue with me. But you don't know your Bible. And because you don't know what I'm about to share with you, you're not being obedient to the Word. So don't tell me that you adhere strictly to the Word of God. That's the standard. That's the measurement for every one of us. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. We know that's where God put Adam and Eve. In the Garden of Eden. Genesis 2:8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. There's another nugget. God formed man and made Eve. The words are totally different in their application and meaning. Adam was formed, Eve was made. He put man, Adam, whom he had formed. That's how he created Adam. He formed him. But then he says, he made a woman in Genesis 2:22, which means to build. And this is the great mystery, and I will build my church. And of course, God in Genesis 2, after he made or built Eve from Adam's side, a rib, Adam says, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called a woman. This is why people can't understand the great mystery of the church being the body of Christ. Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. That's why I'm taking on the subject and writing a book about the church is the mystery, which is the body of Christ, and New Jerusalem is another entity, the bride, the Lamb's wife. Because we have failed to put the emphasis on the mystery. The Greek word is mysterion, and it means something that was once hidden, sacred and concealed and not revealed until God chose to reveal it. You see, we're too silly running around talking about a flat earth when we should be talking about, let's search out the deep things of God and understand the mysteries of God. But that's not what's going on in the church today. We've got all these bamboozles, or we're being bamboozled by these buffoons. Romans 16:25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. I want to know the mysteries. some of the things that's being espoused, taught, preached, people are teaching, it's so elementary. But I want to know the mysteries. And it'll probably take me several days now that we've gotten into this to address, who is Lucifer? God says in Ezekiel 28:13, thou hast been in Eden. You were one time in Eden. You got into my garden. God created the garden, and he put man in the garden and told him to till the soil. That's what it means when he said, dress the garden and keep the garden. God wants men to work. Even Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, if a man does not work, a man does not eat. Dress the garden and keep it, till the soil, nurture it, cultivate it. That's what I try to do spiritually, biblically, and doctrinally, and teaching and preaching the word of God. Cultivate your spirit, your soul. I don't have time to get into what I want to get into, but we'll pick that up in the next program. But thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God, And there is no evidence. This is a legend, but this is a reality. Now, the legendary parts are Satan slept with Eve and all of this junk. There's no Bible for any of that. Now, there's just, you know, anybody that preaches that or tells you that, they don't have one Bible verse to say that. That's just all conjecture and garbage. I'm giving you the Bible. God is telling us from his own word that Satan has been in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of God. That's not a legendary. That's not a legend. That is a reality. He was there. Not only was he there, duped, deceived, and led Eve into deception and Adam willfully transgressed, God then addresses Lucifer and curses him. And, of course, the serpent received that curse. We're going to pick this back up because there was a king named Nahash. Nahash means shining one. And Nahash wanted to make a covenant with Israel, and it was a very cruel covenant. We'll pick that back up in the next program, Nahash, because Nahash is a type of Satan, shining one. We've got to understand, Satan is willfully, intentionally seeking to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Don't let him have any place in your life. Ephesians 4:26, Paul says to the church at Ephesus, neither give place to the devil. Do you hear me? Neither give place to the devil. I said verse 26. It's Ephesians 4:27. 4:27. Neither give place to the devil. Which means don't give the devil room in your life. Don't give him any place. Why? Because if you give him an inch, that lying devil will take a mile. He's heinous, he's cruel, he's vindictive, he's malicious, he's evil. God through Jesus has redeemed.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.
Draw it now.